Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
everybody. This is a team of voices sharing open poetry with Liquid Damage. That's me. We are sponsored by the AP Taylor Foundation. That's AP. Hi, AP. Thank you.
Hi.
And hi. Welcome to a team of voices radio. Our group is filled with love and respect. We are all so happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe and offer a variety of programming for your entertainment. We offer an open microphone so you can share your voice with us. There is something different going on with us every single night of the week. You never know what we might have up our sleeves, so come on by and check us out. Tonight we're going to have some fun. Carmine's here. Hi, Carmine.
How are you, my dear? It is a pleasure being with some of the finest people I haven't met yet, but people who warm my heart.
I like that. Some of the finest people you've never met yet. That's a good one.
No, not yet.
But you will.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, hopefully we're going to have a good show tonight. We've got a bunch of people that have put poems up and a few people that I've invited that might show up. So we're just waiting to see. So let me see. Let me see here. Oh, we don't want that one. I went to buy some camouflage pants, but I couldn't find any.
Yes.
Never trust Adams. They make up everything. Russian dolls are so full of themselves.
You got babushka.
Yes, babushka. Carmine, you got a joke for us?
Oh, I tell you, my dear. You know, when I was a kid, my parents moved a lot, but I always found them.
Let's welcome in. Come on. There we go.
Hello.
Infinite Destruction. How are you, my darling? Yes.
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing great. Glad that you could make it.
Glad to be here. Thank y'all for having me.
Well, that's very cool. We are just sitting around telling some stupid jokes. Got any stupid jokes?
I got one.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So this man walks into a bar, and in about 3 days, he wakes up from the coma.
I love walks into a bar jokes. I've got one. A termite walks into a bar and asks, is the bartender here? That's my favorite one. So you got to laugh.
Oh.
Come on, is the bartender
it took me a
here? Let me see. What's the other one? Two penguins walked into a bar, and that's stupid because the second one should have seen it coming.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I like that. I've got a stupid joke, Linda.
Okay.
It's Australian. What do you call a koala with no teeth?
I don't know. What do you call a koala with no teeth?
A gummy bear.
Very cute. I like that. A gummy bear.
You want to hear a dirty joke?
Sure, as long as it's not too dirty.
I was just going to say a white horse fell in a pile of mud.
Oh, I love that. We're getting all frantic here. Oh, my God, what's he going to say? Very cute.
That's
very funny.
Joke.
That's
very
your
cute.
Dirty joke for the day. Very cute. Anyway, so how's everybody been doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I just feel great, and if I get up in the morning and I'm breathing, that's fantastic. So no complaints.
Great. That is good. I say the same thing when I wake up in the morning. You know, it's a good day that I've woken up. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Yeah, great.
Well, it's always great to wake up, but I quit my job about 6 times, and that's all before my feet hit the floor.
Hey, you're kind of funny. I like that.
I do my best. I suppose.
Like
Thank
that.
you.
So I wanted to have a contest. Where is Infinite Destruction from? We were gonna bet on where you're from.
It's funny because I can manipulate my accent pretty well. So,
yeah.
You tell me when you think you've heard my actual one.
I think North Carolina or Virginia. Am I close?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Okay, let's talk on the other side of the globe. How about Texas?
Well, getting a little bit warmer.
A little bit warmer, huh?
Well.
Louisiana.
Oh, now you're on fire, but you ain't there yet.
On fire, but not there yet. Wow. Anybody else got a guess?
Oh, I'm going Alabama.
Just missed it. We're playing Battleship here.
Baga.
Arkansas.
Oh, we're still playing Battleship. It's not a hit.
Ah. Thought I'd get far away.
Well, Georgia.
He's going a little further out now.
Further out.
Oklahoma?
Wrong direction.
I thought this was going to be easy.
It's not.
Well,
Mississippi.
No. Yeah, you got it. That's it.
There we got it. That was my husband's guess.
Oh, really?
Well,
he's good at that. He hasn't even heard your accent.
Well,
oh, let's see.
I mean, that's a good guess, then. I don't know if y'all know much about college football, but I literally live in the county portion outside of the city that that Ole Miss is in.
Ah.
Let me welcome in. This is 239. Who's calling?
Hello. My name is Bill Schiller.
Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show. This is Bill, my friend I invited. Bill, I'd like to introduce you to Infinite Destruction, Carmine.
Thank you. I'm ready to be destroyed.
Okay.
Thank you. And thank you,
you
for everything
you do. You have the same area code as my friend Carmine.
Yes.
So you took me off guard there. Okay.
I don't know Carmine. And thank you for everything you do to keep poetry in people's mind. I know you're making a lot of money at this, but...
Not a dime. This is all for fun.
Well, I mean, your volunteerism is that.
We all do this for fun.
After hearing
and I'm
the
glad
same
you
story,
came.
I'm glad to be here.
Go ahead.
Thank you for letting me come.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, I read your bio, and I thought you might be a fun addition. You've got some interesting stuff on there.
No one's ever accused me of being fun.
Well, we'll see tonight. We'll see tonight. And with that, I think we should probably get started with maybe some SoundCloud first. And since Frank is first up, you want to grab Frank's link, AP? Thank you very much.
Give me two ticks, and I will put it up on the board. So we are doing, there's Jenny, there's Pee-wee, there's Lawrence, there's Lockdown, there's Poeta, there's Hannah. Where's Frank's call? I'm looking for Frank's link, and...
It should be down towards the bottom, I think.
Is it? Oh, here it is.
Here,
yeah,
let me,
it. Yeah, it's right there.
Oh, you found it?
Yeah, I was looking at the top. I was looking at the top. That was the problem. That was the problem. I was looking at the top, and it was actually down the bottom. Okay.
I thought we'd start out with something scary. There
good
we
idea.
Go.
Okay, well, that's now on the board, the terrible specter.
Does everybody see it? Does everybody
see
the poem?
What is it called?
Cool. What's that?
I'm on the
it
message board.
The terrible
and there should
specter.
Be a link there.
Hopefully
there should be a link.
Red,
on, do you see the link?
To click on it.
I don't see it just yet, but that's all right. I'm listening.
So
okay,
way to
sure?
go. Way to do here is just to refresh your screen. So just hit the little circle screen or whatever there that you've got. You can refresh your screen, and you should see it then.
Okay, let me scroll down toward the bottom.
Yep. Yeah. So just at the bottom of
I'm
the
screen. I'm sorry, I don't mean to hold you up.
No, don't worry about it.
You get it right, and then we're off and running, so.
The first thing I see are the writer names. So this particular piece is written by who?
It's if you look at the last one that's come up on the board is under my name, under AP Taylor, and there'll be a red link to a poem called The Terrible Spectre by Poetic Picasso. And if you just press the link there, that will take you to the poem.
I'm looking at Infinite Destruction, okay. And what shows up for me when I do that is a godless.
I think he's in the.
I'll go into the green room with you. That's Bill there that we're talking to, isn't it, Bill? Is that right?
The green room,
Bill.
Yeah. Bear with me. I'm going to come and I'll play the SoundCloud, Linda, and I'll have a chat to Bill offline. So we'll do that now.
Okay, great.
You want me to start Bill's Frank SoundCloud?
I've got it.
Yeah, go ahead. Do your thing. Cool. It's your world. I'm just visiting.
Hello, Bill. How are you? Hello, Bill. Can you hear me?
For 500 years, I've roamed the earth in search for the eternal light of my long rebirth, chasing the truth. For 500 years, I've roamed the earth in search for the eternal light of my long rebirth, chasing the true image of the beauty of my life, but haunted by the one thing destroying me now. Just the sable shadow of death that follows me from the sea unto land, in valleys and forests. I wander an empty soul within hollowed bones, the latent curse of the eons of direful repine. Mirrors are my obsession. Time is my friend and foe, for I am the countenance of the miserable wretch of righteous condemnation. When the hourglass should drop its last trickle of sand, I shall be reduced to visible cinders, and my burning flame. The echoes of the whispering winds of the buried innocent drive me bloody insane, and I cannot escape their voices as the sturdy walls of the lament are pounded by the will for just vengeance. The unbearable guilt drowns me in the vivid pool of acid blood, pouring like a bleating waterfall. I can sense I am slowly dying from inside and outside of me, just waiting for the first dawn to burn me with its fiery sun. I run away and hide from the terrible specter that looms, my imposing shuffle always, with the fear and my evaporating breath, I struggle to breathe in death. In the poem.
Wow, Frank. I don't know what to say except this was some serious writing. It's like not a story, but like real life. Like you didn't make it up, but you did, and that's what makes it really cool. It's not real. It's not. It's. I mean, it is real, but wow. And let's see, verse 4, the echoes of the whispering winds of the buried innocent drive me bloody insane, and I cannot escape their voices as the sturdy walls of the laments are pounded by the will for just vengeance. The unbearable guilt drowns me in the vivid pool of acid blood pouring like a bleeding waterfall. That is just so well spoken and just cries out with despair. The imagery in this is creepy good. I give it an 11 on the scary scale of 1 to 10. And remember, Frank, you are the deputy of doom, the master of macabre, and the sergeant of scary. I love your work, and I thank you for sharing it with us tonight. Thanks, Frank. Let me get you some comments. Let's start out with Carmine.
Well, I tell you, Frank, you're a master at that, and it is scary, but as mentioned, in all aspects, it is true. So we look at life in all shades, and sometimes the dark shades overcome the light and becomes very depressed, macabre, and it also becomes, sometimes a longing for death because of the pain. So in your work over here, you see this individual being, as you say, looking at life really not on the happy side, but the dark side. And you did an excellent job. You always do. So high commendations for that work.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Infinite Destruction, what do you have to say about that scary piece?
Well, I really, I enjoyed, number one, how it was read. It almost had a Dracula feel to the vocals. And I mean, I'm assuming from what I'm reading here that this is from the perspective of a vampire. At least that's the vibe I'm getting. So the little nuances like mirrors are my obsession. I could only imagine not being able to see your reflection and just staring into a mirror and just be wondrous of curiosity of what do I really look like? And then, you know, talking about drops its last hourglass drop in its last trickle of sand. If literally when time itself ends, if ever that comes, that's when this immortality would presumably end. So it says to its last trickle of sand, I shall be reduced to visible cinders of my burning flame. And then it's, you can feel the sense of, when it says the acid blood and the guilt drowns me, it's required of a vampire in order for him, to literally feel sustained, that he should find, that feeding on the living is imperative, but you know, it doesn't necessarily mean you don't feel guilt. Absolutely intriguing poem, and it's absolutely interesting that this is, you know, what you chose to be read on the show tonight, because the poem I wrote is also about a vampire that I was going to share tonight. So hopefully you're listening, and you would get to hear mine and tell me what you think of it. It's a great poem, though. Sorry if I was long-winded.
That's okay. No, I was just thinking, without a reflection, how could you ever tell if you had a booger in your nose unless your vampire friends were really cool? But that would be awful, you know, walk around with a boogie hanging and nobody tells you and you can't see your reflection.
Oh,
but anyway, that's my silliness. Let's see, AP, did you get to hear any of that?
I did a little, yes, Linda, and the thing I was going to comment on was exactly what Infinite Destruction was talking about in terms of the recording, because Frank does a wonderful job every week of recording his poem, and the thing that, and Frank does subtleties with what he's doing with his recording, not just with the words, and so I noticed that he used a different laugh this week, Linda. Now, not many people would have noticed that, but I did, and I wanted to comment on it and say that it was a much more restrained, eerie laugh than the Vincent Price-style laugh, just so that you know I'm listening, Frank, in comment.
Right on. Bill, did you catch any of that, or do you want to wait till the next one?
No, I got quite a bit of it, actually. And I can see where I went wrong on the board, but I think he got me all squared away now.
Cool.
I do want to comment too on the audio portion of that, because it really helps to create more of that ominous tone. It can.
What happened? Are you there, Bill?
Bill? He's still in the studio on the board, but he might have muted himself.
Right.
Bill, we can't hear you. You're still with us, but we can't hear you.
Did you mute yourself, Bill? Bill, try your mute button. Oh, no, we lost Bill.
We did.
We did lose him. Well, my goodness, what should we do?
Well, we'll try and probably the best thing we can do is ask Bill to call back in, Linda. That's probably, you know,
it's
the old turn it off, turn it back on. And it's very old-fashioned, but it does tend to work. So, Bill, if you can hear us, do you want to hang up and then dial back in?
Right.
Yeah, because I've got no idea where he's gone. He's still on the studio here, but we can't hear a word he's saying.
Right.
Just for the fun of it.
Are you there?
Hello, Bill. Infinite.
Hi,
Bill. You muted out for a while, so we didn't catch much of what you said.
No. Okay. Look, Linda, do you want to put up the next poem on the board, and I'll see if I can find Bill?
Sure. Sure.
This is Infinite. I'm kind of on a time restraint. Is any chance we could do mine next?
We could put
yours up next.
You can do that.
Let me
I'll just do that first. I've got it.
Okay.
And you've got a SoundCloud too, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
So bear
you
with
got
me.
I've
got the link. I've put it on the board, and I'm now going to do this. I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to try and find Bill.
Sounds
centuries.
Okay. Here we go.
Godless centuries. I have lived for a score and a decade. Many a maiden, peasant, and lord hath I slayed. From their life's essence sustenance hath I made. My undying thirst as becometh a murderous blade. No repercussions hath I received for being iniquitous. Good, evil, ha, I shall remain if ambiguous. Ye come to me seeking absolution, so ambitious, to understand if thy existence is truly egregious. Yet this beeth a truth upon which thine heart is tore. Why should I gift ye a lie? Tell me, what are ye here for? A soul? A spirit? To be damned? Was there ever truly more? Lucifer? A god? Ah, this be the rub, the burden ye have bore. If there actually be a Satan, undoubtedly we art he, for even man's hedonism compareth to ours pathetically. If there's a god, he hates us, the perversion that we be, and not you nor I can debate this effectively. So kill, give death to them all, to dust they shall return, for even we evade the light, or we shall burn. Go, remember my name and mine word, where'er ye journ. Right or wrong, I, Armand, leave ye nothing left to discern. So go, let thy restless mind be free to be and rest. Sleepless angels, wouldst lie in wait not for us, I digress. For only man was promised salvation from their stress. As for us, we might as well exist as if this world is truly godless.
Wow, this was really cool, Infinite Destruction. I hear what you say about this in Frank's. I like the way that you read this without any electronic, any SoundCloud, that you just have this voice that brings it out, and it is so like focused and just bad ass is what I'm trying to say. I didn't mean to say it that way, but it is. It's way cool, and the way you portray the vampire in this is, I mean, he's kind of like this grand fellow who's kicking back and just taking it easy and saying it like it is to the people that come to him. And, you know, he's given lessons, and that's, you know, that's the cool thing is he's given the lessons, and we can either learn from him or run away freaked out by what he has to say, because you do have a lot to say in this, and it's quite interesting. Let me see where I.
Linda, I think we've got Hatter on the line. Did you want me to let him in?
Yeah, why don't you let Hatter in?
Okay.
Yet this be the truth upon which thine heart is tore. Why should I give ye a lie? Tell me, what are ye here for? A soul, a spirit, to be damned? Was there ever truly more? Lucifer, a god? Ah, this be the rub, the burden ye hath bore. That is so well written. It makes you really think about what you had to say. So I really like this. I mean, you're an awesome writer. And you do it without all the bells and whistles, and I like that. You just have that kind of personality that comes out in your poetry that is really cool. So let me get you some some more comments.
Thank you.
Bill.
Bill's line dropped.
He dropped. Okay. Carmine.
What you said was absolutely true. I really like the flow of what he was saying, and of course he's talking very in-depthly about human nature, and he's talking about in certain aspects that it says the hedonism compared to ours pathetically, and he said one part that I really felt strong about, and compared to what you had said, which I want to bring out, is this: if there's a God, he hates us. Why? Because of the perversion that we be. And then he's mentioning, and he says, you can't debate that, because it's effective in all aspects. But there's the reality of our life. In any event, as far as the perversion is concerned, we can change that around so that God does not hate us. And but the thought is very deep and very in-depth, and sometimes meditative is in respect to our own being. So he did an excellent job. And I did like the sound and the way it was presented, because you got the intensity of what he's saying. So you got to give him a lot of credit for that. Good job, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Good comment, Carmine.
Thank you. Just to clarify real quick, this is written for a contest that's supposed to honor Anne Rice as a writer. So I chose from the perspective of Armand, who's a vampire, and this is him speaking to another probably much younger vampire who's coming to him as him being one of the most ancient and, you know, having the issue of am I damned? And, you know, is there a God or Satan? So he pretty much giving him the lowdown, like you were saying, Miss Liquid, of, you know, this is really what's up.
Right. Yeah. Excellent piece. AP.
Yes. And Hatter was there and then he dropped. So we're having some fun at the minute with the studio, Infinite. But, I actually got that sense when I was reading the poem, Infinite, about the sense of this being somebody talking and sharing wisdom. And because there was something in the words and something about the way that those words came across, go remember my name and mine word, wherever you journ, right or wrong, I amand, leave you nothing to discern. It was there was a sense of power in the words, there was a sense of age in the words that were being shared, and that there was joint wisdom in those words. And it was powerful for the way that came across.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Right on. Okay. AP, I thought we'd do Titus next so Titus can get some rest, because he's probably up waiting to hear his piece.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So I always forget that he's over there.
Yes, well, Titus, of course, is over in the UK, and it's still very early in the morning there, Linda. So thanks to Titus for holding on. And
I think Bill's back.
That's good news. Hold on.
Bill, are you? Is that
Hello?
You, Bill? Hello.
Hello. Can
Hello,
you
Bill.
Hear me?
You made it back. Yeah, I can hear you.
I am. I had some trouble with the phone, and I was talking, but
I'm pretty sure you couldn't hear me, and then eventually disappeared.
Well,
yeah.
I'm glad you made it back.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play this.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, Bill.
That's okay. It happens. Believe me, it happens.
Oh, good. we're poets, not technologists. It's okay. Good. I'm going to play that SoundCloud now, Linda. Here we go.
The blessed intervention of two lovers. Beyond dreams where love was found, there were you. An elusive woman theme would befit this dogma surrounding the lovelorn view of loneliness each way. A love which mishit. The day default brought havoc what was clear. A never to be near enough long prayer. The willingness of God would persevere. Time to allow my sorry state some care. It would seem the parting of the ways bore the message along a lonely wood. 'Twas meant to be ours, a love which engraves tales of two lovers as long distance should. Where the revelations of divine love, these blessed interventions do hereof.
Wow. Tony, this is a blessed piece. The opening line is just so lovely and strong. And then going into the strength of the rest of the verse makes it just a perfectly even thought. So beautiful. Your rhyme and flow here works perfectly, as do the metaphors and soft, striking imagery. My favorite part, verse 3, it would seem the parting of the waves bore the message along a lonely wood. 'Twas meant to be ours, a love which engraves tales of two lovers as long distance should. Just so beautiful. You just have this way of writing that makes everybody like sit straight and listen. Terribly listen to your poetry, because there's no half at it. You know that it's when you listen to Titus, you're all in. And Titus, I love you for that. I love you for making these beautiful SoundClouds that you share with us. You are an exemplary poet, and I thank you for coming to the show tonight. Thank you. Get some rest. I'll get you some more comments. Bill, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, and you can still hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. I'll try to get through this without messing my phone up. But I thought this hit on so many levels, not only for the way it was written, but the audio with that dreamy sort of mystic feel makes it more transcendent, because this whole other tone comes out through that excellent audio. But it all just so blended together, that sound that was cultivated and the language, it all just stayed consistent, didn't really stray. It does have this feel of yearning to it, and sort of a more mystic sense of romanticism. It was really quite good, and it shows how powerful when you hear. I mean, I think that it all comes across in just reading the piece, but then when you're able to hear that voice, and it's the person that wrote it, and they know exactly what they meant and where the inflections and emphasis go, it just had its own rhythm, and it was just written wise and spoken. Very impressive.
Right on. Yeah, you'll find that Titus is a very impressive, inspiring poet. if you come to other shows, because he usually does have a piece on my show. And he is just an exemplary poet, just fine-tuned. But I'm glad you got to experience him tonight. You are welcome back next Friday, too, as well, if you'd like to come. But anyway, let's get some more comments for Titus. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, look, the thing about Titus is that he's like a perfectionist, Linda. He sits there, and I'm sure he spends quite a bit of time working out what music he's going to use, how he's going to interact with that music, how he's going to speak in that poem to that music. And then, you know, he spends a considerable amount of time, particularly with something like a Shakespearean sonnet, which has, you know, specific requirements that, but he doesn't ever make you think about those requirements. Because what he does is quite beautiful with his words and the way he puts them together. And this was another wonderful example of that.
Right on. Carmine.
Well, first of all, the title is really excellent, because it's The Blessed Intervention of Two Lovers. Actually, I feel it's an elusive theme of loneliness each way, that the lovers are never to be near each other long enough. It's a long-distance love, but it's blessed. It's blessed with the integrity, the honesty, the faithfulness of each other, and more like a divine love that becomes very important. It becomes heartwarming, patient. It's a silent love, but it's a deep love. It's like engraving the names of the lovers in a tree and the beginning of forever. Titus always comes across excellently in respect to his rhyme and the flow. So Titus, from all of us, you just keep on writing, because you have a wonderful gift.
All right. Thank you, Carmine. That was a lovely comment. And I think we got it all. Let's see, who's next? Bill, you brought a piece. You want to go up next?
Sure. I'm trying to remember what I bought. But
Do you got it?
Let me pull it up. I'm scrolling the screen.
Oh, AP will get it.
Coming in just one tick. Okay, if you refresh your screen, you should see it now, Bill. It's a poem called Move Along.
There
okay,
we go.
I got it.
I got it.
Okay, yeah, for sure. I call this Move Along. More force than feel, impossible to listen. The natives kneel in mystical awe of suspicion. However high the jump, all are destined to fall. A method of motion and turn of cosmic parasol. A divine design strategy in spatial specificity. Revolving doors attempt mirror maelstrom. As above, so below, the alchemists foretell. Space is manifested trace of a wizard's dark spell. Blinded by sight, but never slighted from feet. Nature's tolling bell propels complete. And gravity's call constantly repeats. That is Move Along.
Wow. That was really, really cool. You have a very intelligent way of writing. I can see it in your poem. You used a lot of imagination and you put a lot of love into this brevity. And I like the brevity when it, especially one like this that says so much. You have so much information in this short piece that it's amazing. The imagery in it is quite cool.
You're very kind.
As above, so below, the alchemists foretell. Space is manifested trace of wizard's dark spell. It's very enchanting right there. And that's a very loving thing to do. Yeah, not a problem. You're a very good writer. And I knew you would be when I read your bio. I was saying, this guy is going to be a good one. And I'm glad.
I have to
tell you, I've met some
of the smartest people on the All Poetry platform. And this whole thing on gravity came to me after reading another member's poem, and it was so far over my head, and it's something about some sort of cellular physiology and physics combined, and I got so lost trying to understand because it was so over my head.
So I
wrote the writer and said, you know, but can you, as hard as it may be, sometimes we got to dumb stuff down for people like me that aren't you know, the sharpest knives in the box. So, but I felt that whatever the science that was involved in the math and physics the guy was referring to in his poem, I said, there's something there, and for people that know what he means, it probably makes perfect sense to him. But when I came away from that, I started thinking, is there something in our natural state that is all of us can relate to, but look at it in a different way, and make it be something involving science, but not in such a way that any idiot like me could understand what it means. So I was looking for some kind of, what could I try to grasp? And I thought gravity. You know, we all have a concept of what it is. So let me just try to put something out on this concept, but make it in a way that might be more palpable if you don't have a comprehension of physics or higher forms of math. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I like the ending. I mean, it was very, very clever. So let me give you some more comments. AP, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was really interesting. The just this sense of trying to grasp at a concept of space and nature and gravity and trying to work out how we make sense of it and how we try and, you know, interpret it. And for me, that's what this poem was trying to do. And I thought it was an interesting way of going about it. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Carmine.
First of all, like I mentioned, I love his title, but there's certain aspects that are very poignant as far as the poem is concerned, and it deals with the reality of life, and I believe one line which says, however high the jump or however high someone aspires to go, he says, all are destined to fall, which is most apropos. But it mentions a repetitive reoccurrence or reprise on this very particular theme, because when the last line is this, nature's tolling bell propels complete what? You can go out like again, you can go as high as your aspirations and fortune go. However, gravity's core constantly repeats, which means that whatever goes up must come down. And as far as the gravity is concerned, then, you know, the finality of all humanity is being finally gravitated to his resting place. And that's very deep thinking. I also want to commend him on the flow of the work and also the rhyme scheme, which proves very intently that he has a gift of talent, in, especially with this work.
Thank you so much. Yeah. That's the nicest thing I've heard in weeks. I need to listen
well,
to
you're
more
going
often.
To hear it again, sir. I mean, I speak from my heart, and it's honest. That's the only way I can be.
Right. Well, yeah, you've come to the right place, Bill. We love poetry, and we love good poetry, and we love different poetry. We just love the written word, and you are a poet, and you're part of that. Yeah. Yeah, ask my husband. He says he's a poetry widow. Let's go on here and see what we got next. AP, you want to go?
We can do that. Linda, I was going to go back into the back catalog and get a poem for you, if that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he does that.
So, yes.
I always like to take life with a grain of salt, a slice of lemon, and a shot of tequila.
That's cute.
Here's a good one. Build a man a fire and he'll be warm for a day. Set a man on fire and he'll be warm for the rest of his life.
I quite like that one.
That is a good one. Every once in a while. Every once in a while.
Okay. Well, okay. I have gone back. I have gone back, and I have gone to the videotape and got the poem that I have had read the most. Linda. Yeah.
I don't
so my most
see
read
it.
Poem. I know, because it's not up there yet, but it is there now.
Oh, there we go.
Since Deb's not feeling very well and won't be with us, I invented a form for her, and this is three villanelles combined into a thing called a trivanelle. This is camouflaged, and it goes a little bit like this. As butterflies don't obscure their presence, the night skies then illuminate rare stars. They flutter to and fro by fine silk wings, see camouflage would alter their essence. Upon the echo of space hide our scars. Sided teetering in yards or crescents between fine aqua and sky blue, however in sunshine as the warmth sings, as butterflies don't obscure their presence, smallest creatures scuttling too. Within breezes tumbling on descents, our imaginations limit bizarre. Antennae flicker the sense about things, see camouflage would alter their essence. The night's skies illuminate rare scars. Predators in motion find iridescence between fine aqua and sky blue. There is no venom there or poison stings, as butterflies don't obscure their presence or lounge below periwinkle dew. Discover instead adrift is effervescence as we scan ever outwards darkness bars. Avoid adverse currents as all darks cling, see camouflage would alter their essence as they look outwards seeking memoirs. In currents glittering absent defence on the sands find colours brew. Discover joy, here optimism springs or lounge below periwinkle dew. as butterflies don't obscure their presence, see camouflage, would alter their essence. End point.
Wow, AP. That is just beautiful. You have given quite a tribute to the butterfly, number one. I mean, it's just the way you describe them in flight, them, you know, at rest, just the whole bit is beautiful. And the way you write it is so soft and silky and sweet. You know, you have this sweetness about your poem here, and I'm sure Deb absolutely adored this, and it's probably making her feel a little bit better now that you've read it, to listen to it. Its imagery in here is so colorful and sparkling and enchanting and all that. It's just beautiful. Let me get you some more comments. I really loved it, AP. Nah. Really pretty. Carmine.
Well, I'd have to agree with you, Linda. It's really, it's got some great imagery there, and it's, as you mentioned, it's sparkling with sunlight. There's certain aspects that, and there's a lot of color in the work. I mean, the butterflies and the shifting shadows, and it's very emotional, and especially in some of the past memories, where he can recollect things that, that were part of his life. And so there's a comparison between the color of the butterflies and also as far as his life is concerned. And, even as he gets older, he'll always be there. So he's got some good comparison and good contrast in that work, which is very well done. Well done.
And Bill.
Yes. The first thing that comes to mind as I listened to this work was elegant congruence. And I say that because if you consider the butterfly, you know, there are certain critters that when you hear what it is, it automatically evokes a feeling or a thought or an idea. Just like if you hear of a bat or a spider, that provokes a reaction. A snake, it makes you instinctively think of something. And a butterfly is the same thing. And there's this whole shading of, what that butterfly represents. And it comes off as almost an admonishment. I mean, this is the continual repetition of this phrase. It makes me think of some wallflowers I've known. And at parties, I should have just, it's kind of like, baby, don't sit in the corner. But I want to say, butterflies don't obscure their presence.
Right on.
I don't know if that makes sense. It's, butterflies don't obscure their presence. What are you doing here in the back in the dark? And
right.
It's almost like saying, hey, you need to don't hide what you've you think of a butterfly, you think of something that's emerging, from the cocoon, and it's almost what I'm hearing in this writing is an affirmation of the ability to, be who and what you are, because butterflies don't obscure their presence. Thank God, because we see enough things in black and white and gray these days. It's nice for a butterfly to come along and liven things up.
Yeah.
Hopefully not the kind that that add to the drama, but just that delicate touch, you know. I really like the, again, the visuals in the writing, but the innuendo and symbolism, and because it has so many other, there's so many other different contexts you can make as you read everything now, the more I think about it. And that's one of those, that's one of the cool things about this poem is it's one of those things as you reflect on the words that later on in the middle of your night, you could say, oh, this, what a clever idea. This, and suddenly like you just get it. And you know what I mean? Like when you hear a joke
right.
and yeah. it's not funny, but later on it's like, oh, now I get it. That this poem to me has all kind of thoughts in it like that.
Right,
thanks,
right.
Bill.
Good comment. You know what I think? Can I do mine next?
Of course you can.
Okay.
You can do that. It's your show. You can do whatever you like. But you know, of course you can.
I keep forgetting. I don't like to be
your,
a bully,
I mean, you
know, though.
No. But it's your show. You know, a certain amount of bullying required. So here we go. It's up on the board now. Thanks to Heavenly Angel, too, for your comments.
I thought I would give this tribute to my youngest daughter. I don't know why she didn't call me on Mother's Day, but it goes like this. For my lovely daughter, Evening Shade. There lives a young girl we call Eve, who's lovelier than you can believe. She's gentle and kind and looks very fine, but at times she is somewhat naive. Now, being naive doesn't mean that she isn't exceptionally keen. As a matter of fact, her brain didn't lack quite a whiz, if you know what I mean. From heaven she came to her birth, sent by angels that cherished her worth. They cried when she went, but knew why God sent this angel to live on the earth. God knew that there was a part of her mother that needed to start. It soon was revealed that her spirit had healed when she felt the first beat of Eve's heart. Now, after 9 months, Eve got bored. She got cramped in the womb she was stored. I'm coming out now, so don't have a cow and don't yank my umbilical cord. The doctor seemed pleased at the sight that the baby had come out just right. 10 fingers and toes and a cute little nose and eyes that were open and bright. An angel you are, little one. Now you're here, we can start to have fun. We'll wish when it's night on stars that shine bright, and we'll sing and we'll dance in the sun. I'll teach you to talk right away, because I know you'll have plenty to say. Like mommy and cup, go potty and up, but you can't learn it all in one day. At first it may seem things are rough, but you're learning a whole lot of stuff. Like tying your shoes, learning green paint from blue, and holding a spoon can be tough. Before you can walk, you must crawl. Before you can stand, you will fall. So while you are new, I'm here to help you. It's easier like that when you're small. It seemed like the time really flew, since the moment her child was new. Her mother turned around, and guess what she found? No more baby, but now she was two. Her mom was quite pleased when they made a handprint in clay that won't fade. She knew it would last as the years flew by fast, a reminder of how they once played. Then there came swimming and bikes. At the park once they tried to fly kites. They giggled and juggled and stomped in rain puddles and went home and stayed up all night. Now instead of her crayons and toys, Eve's grown to be quite fond of boys. And not only that, but the boys are fond back and eager to bask in the joy. Now remember way back at the start, it was told although Eve's quite smart, she's also naive and young boys will deceive and can easily break a girl's heart. Eve's mother felt somewhat relieved. She had taught Eve quite well, she believed. She had to let go so Eve could now show she had learned not to be so naive. Some lessons can't really be taught. It's life where we get what we've got. The wisdom retained through all of life's pain is the sum of our battles well fought. Eve's mother loved her and still does, but misses the time when she was being held in her arms where she kept her from harm and could laugh at themselves just because. I'm honored that I was the one that was chosen to have all the fun with an angel named Eve who is a bit still naive, so I guess that my teaching's not done. I'm ending my story right here after I make something clear. If you are a boy and treat Eve like a toy, better run or I'll cut off your ears. Love, Mommy. In poem.
I love that, man.
That's my limerick tribute. It's a limerick tribute. It is a limerick tribute. But I have to say that on behalf of all the boys, Linda, I'm very glad I'm in Australia and I'm not up your part of the world because there was a fair bit of feeling there in that last stanza, and I reckon you'd do it based on what
I did. Did you see her picture?
I did.
Isn't she pretty?
Very, yes. Very pretty, and it's a very cute poem, Linda. It's got
thank you, AP.
It's a very personal poem, and it's lovely that it was a present, and it's even better that she enjoyed it. And look, as poets, one of the few things that you can do is write things that give joy to other people, and it's a gift, and you've got it, Linda.
Right on. Thanks, AP.
Bennett, may I make a comment, my dear?
Yes, you may.
Linda, this is a very loving tribute of a mother to a daughter, and I think one of the closest things in life, closer than pages in the book, is the affection and the love between the mother and a daughter. The boys usually go away, but the mother and the daughter remain forever. And you had in your poem all the aspects of motherhood whereby you taught your daughter the things, even though you felt she was naive. You pointed out certain aspects that, as far as life is concerned, it's not always fun. However, you have to be wise in your decisions. And she mentioned over here, in life where we get what we got, okay, there's some lessons that you can't really be taught. You'd have to learn them yourself. But remember that I'll always be here with you. Then you talk about the naiveness of your daughter. And you make an ending that's very poignant and very, quite emphatic, because you say, in effect, you better be good to her or you'll see how bad I can be. And you're saying, well, like this, if you're a boy and you don't treat my daughter right, I got news for you. You'll forget the day you did that. But the ending, even it says, which will always be a part of feelings for your daughter forever, is love, Mommy. And so this is very endearing, my dear. It's very heartfelt. And that's your gift there. It is, and we love it.
Thank you, Carmine. Bill.
Yes.
Right away.
I've been chomping at the bit. I tried to read the words, but I kept seeing this picture of this girl, and her eyes made me feel like she's staring into my soul.
Right.
So it made it hard to read the words on that page because I just couldn't get away from that picture of that beautiful face. And I do have to commend you on some things far beyond the writing. But if I just started on the writing, I'm going to say what you did that was really cool. And I this pushes a lot of buttons for me. I'm a father of two adult children. I've got four grandchildren. And, you know, I go through this little thing with my kids who are not kids anymore, but I have to remind them that they'll always be my kids. And so you have this wonderful balance that you did in your writing where you spent time recognizing that period of life when the person was a child dependent totally on your care and nurturing, but you also took time to recognize the fact that person has become an adult and where you can see this relationship that was present, you know, in childhood, but yet it's still so strong as this person is an adult. It's beautiful. And I also hear that reminder that kids sometimes need. You grow up all you want, but you know, you're always going to be the parent.
That's right.
Now, the other thing, very important, and I don't even know if you can realize the significance of it just yet, and I'll put this in context. I've written a lot of poetry, but in my career, so much of what I've had to do included, you know, accounting of all the service a veteran provided during his time in the military. And I've done that for literally thousands. I'm talking about thousands of veterans. And I can't tell you how many times the families, after a book gets published, will and say, you know, we're so glad that we know about what Grandpa did in the war or what my father went through when he was in the service.
Right. Wow. Are you okay, Bill? Uh-oh. Bill? Okay. I think we'll move on. Bill, are you there?
He's still on the board, Liquid, so we'll just give it a minute or so, and I'll check back in. We might do a SoundCloud, I think, and that'll give me a chance to see if I can check in.
Let's do Pee-wee.
Yeah, do Pee-wee? Okay. Well, let me just get his palm up on the board. Okay, just one tick. I'll copy that, put it on the board, and then play the sound. And I'll play the SoundCloud now, and we'll see if we can. Bill has dropped, so we'll. Bill, love you to call back in if you're feeling up to it, but understand that you may not be. But we'd love you to call back in. And in the meantime, this Pee-wee, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Misogyny, hatred of deviants.
Hatred of all waiters, men, and deviants. All just an impetus for my insolence. Lashing out in a world that makes no sense. And I see you there across the room. Smoking mirrors, I'll be breaking soon. Laying there, don't have a care. But the pain drives me to a needle and spoon. And then you see me laying right here, turning different shades of hazy unclear. Face down on the bathroom's cold tile, vomit stuck to an overdose smile. It's just the way it goes sometimes. Puzzle pieces of a life that won't align. Tried my best, but I must concede. I'm the last thing I could ever need.
Misogyny, major deeds and miscreants.
Hating all waiters, men, and deviants. This impetus for my insolence. Lashing out because the world makes no sense. Dissonance seeping into my mind again. Makes its way up underneath my skin. Resonates with the smell of poppies. Impetus for this path to ivy. The resolution that there's no solution for this festering disease I gave to us brings one to the only conclusion. This room I won't leave standing up.
Well, although I figured out that the SoundCloud didn't match the link on the board.
No, it didn't.
But I had read his poem earlier, and Pee-wee, this was an absolutely strong metaphor for "at first you don't succeed, fry, fry a hen." You, sir, are an ardent and progressive writer who gives off a strong and eminent air. I like that your verses are so pulled together and wise. I think verse 3 is so compelling and brings back big memories to me, except the cold tiles were a hot oven, much to think about. I still have the scar. Verse 4, however, I think I can really relate to, because, yes, most time I am the last thing I could ever need. This is perfectly written, my lovely friend. Thank you for sharing it. I can't believe the monumental, just emotional heart that this piece has for people like me and Pee Wee and others out there that were just ardent users and abusers, that we can appreciate his beautiful art. It just blows me away, Pee-wee. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Did you want me to read the poem that's up on the board, Linda, so that we can have it read? I'm happy to do it.
Okay. There should be another link down there that matched the SoundCloud.
Yeah, but we can't grab it. There's a little process to go through. It'll take 5-10 minutes, and so
okay.
If you don't mind, Pee-wee, I'll read that link so that we can at least I know it's not you reading it, but at least we've got the cloud in the AN, I know, but it, as I said, it's about a 10-minute process to upload it. So let me read Waiters, Men, and Deviants, and at least then we've had it read. Yeah. So it goes a little bit like this. Misogyny, maitre d's, and miscreants, hatred of all waiters, men, and deviants, all just an impetus for my insolence, slashing out in a world that makes no sense. And I see you there across the room, smoke and mirrors, I'll be breaking soon. Laying there, don't have a care, but the pain drives me to a needle and spoon. Then you see me laying right here, turning different shades of hazy unclear, face down on the bathroom's cold tile, vomit stuck to an overdose smile. It's just the way it goes sometimes, puzzle pieces of a life that won't align. I tried my best, but I must concede I'm the last thing I could ever need. Misogyny, mater d's and miscreants, hating all waiters, men and deviants. This impotence for my insolence, I'm lashing out because the world makes no sense. Dissonance seeping into my mind again makes its way underneath my skin, resonates with the smell of poppy's impetus to this path to IV. The resolution there's no solution for, this festering disease I gave to us, brings one to the only conclusion, this room I won't leave standing up in poem.
Well, yeah, that piece just blew my mind. I had an incident like he was talking about, waking up with vomit stuck to your face on the cold tile. Mine was waking up out of the oven. I burned my neck terribly because I OD'd into the oven cooking fish sticks for my children's dinner.
Oh,
it was
goodness, horrible.
The cops and the fire trucks had to come and bring me around, take me to the hospital, but. I so relate to Pee-wee's work, you know, that other line about I'm the worst thing that, you know, I could be to me or what, I don't have it in front of me, but, and that's true. I am the worst friend I'll ever have. And, you know, not anymore, but I can still be that worst friend. But I try to be a better friend to myself now than I did back then. But all in all, Pee-wee's work just gives shivers down my back sometimes, and this was one of them. Thank you, Pee-wee. Hey, Pee, did you want to comment on it? You read it?
I did. And I loved what I'm going to call the refrain, misogyny, maitre d's and miscreants, hater of all waiters, men and deviants. It's something very neat about that, and it just puts you in the mood for what's to come. So I love the start, I love the refrain, and I love the rhyming and the assonance and dissonance of the poem on the way through. So no, I really enjoyed it.
Right on, Carmine.
Well, most of what I wanted to say has been said, and Pee-wee has always, to me, been a really very extremely talented writer, and. When he's mentioned certain aspects of life, like his own being the worst friend, and really why has he been the worst friend? Probably because of the things he has thought, the things he has done, the regrets that he lives by or lives remembering, and. You know, when you consider some of the things that Pee-wee has to say, it's not trivial. It's very deep. And I really appreciate that, because that's what writers should do. I mean, of course, in other aspects, they entertain like poets should do, and they give you something to think about. Well, that's what Pee-wee has that gift for. He gives people who read his work something to think about. And, you have to admire him. So, great job, Pee-wee. Most appreciated.
Hold on. And next, I think we'll do Heavenly Angel. If you can put her
link
up.
We can do that. We can do that.
Thank you very much.
Quick. We will just
And I will read that for her.
Yes.
And then if you want to read Lawrence.
Yeah,
Lawrence needs a reader.
Yeah, we can do that. So I'm just put Heavenly Angel up on the board now. And we are there
there
now.
We go. There we go. This is very beautiful. This is called On the Wings of Love, a collaboration with Easy Rider by Heavenly Angel. Let us fly on the wings of love tonight. Let our fantasies and dreams take full control. Make sweet love to me till the dawn's early light. Sweetheart, I need you with my whole heart and soul. We'll make all of our dreams reality. We were touched by heaven's smile when we first met. We are a perfect match. I knew we would be. Let us make this night a night we'll never forget. You know, darling, I can't think of anything I'd rather do than fly on the wings of love with you. Your beauteous charm has always set my heart afire. The precious love we share is all that I desire. We will make this night a special one, you and I. Sweetheart, 'twill be so easy for me to comply. On the wings of love, this night will soar. Tonight and every night, hun, forevermore. In poem. Wow, that's just... they do such good work together. It's amazing because it's hard. It's seamless. You don't know where the lines are, who did what. It's just so perfectly seamless. And let me see here. Hang on. It's beautifully written, and for a collab, not for a collab, I mean, it's a beautifully written collab, but you guys, this was truly great and full of love. The perfection of this creates a song that has a lovely melodic tone, so pretty, and your rhyme and flow go along with the imagery, soft and symphonic, like angels singing a harmony. I can feel and hear and see the love you have for each other. Really beautiful piece, you guys. You just did a stellar job on this. Every verse is full of love and emotions of love. And I thank you for bringing it to the show and sharing it with me tonight. Very, very well done. Let me get you some comments. Carmine.
Well, I tell you, that I love that poem. It's to me, it's the magic and essence of romanticism. The flow and the rhyme is perfect. It's perfect for a moving melody to a song. It's perfect for the reading at a wedding or an anniversary, and it evokes strong emotions and respect to the feelings for each other. So this talented group here of Angel and Easy Rider are immersed in magic, because you have to have the magic in order to write something like that. And being lyricist and also one who has worked with multi songs and musicals, I could see this in a musical, and I could see how it would evoke the scene and bring it to life, especially at a scenario where the finality of the scene brings the lovers together. So they've got it, and much praise goes to them. You know, really, they are excellent when it comes to that.
Thank you, Carmine. She would be greatly appreciative. AP, what did you think?
It's beautifully written piece. It's a beautiful feel and sense and purpose and love to it. And there's nothing more beautiful than love. And there's nothing more beautiful than two people contributing, you know, their thoughts together and doing it so elegantly well. Linda?
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah. Okay, let's do Lawrence's real quick, and then we'll jump back to Jenny.
Is Bill still with us? Did you want to comment?
Are you still there?
Me?
Oh, I thought you dropped. Would you like to comment on that poem?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there were a couple things that jumped out I was curious about. There's a interesting balance, somehow cleverly pulled off, that within all this romanticism, there's still an innocence that makes me believe that I don't know this writer, but as I read this, it makes me think that this is someone who's still young. Because the cynicism that often comes through with older people in relationships is free from all of this. It just sounds like that fresh, evergreen romanticism that is associated with youth. And despite all the passion that comes across from the writing, there's still an innocence to it and purity that makes it compelling. But your colleague earlier made a reference to a musical quality of the words, and that was one of the things that really jumped out for me too. And I'll have to give you an example. So if I started writing some poetry and I was using certain lines in my verse, lines like a rolling stone or tangled up in blue, those particular those lines would be so immediately recognizable. Someone might say, I know where those lines came from. They came from someone else. So there are certain lyrics I just love, but I know that if I include them, they're going to immediately be associated with something else other than me. And when I hear On the Wings of Love, it instantly makes me think of Jeffrey Osborne, the singer, and his song On the Wings of Love. And it's
right.
So if someone with a musical, love as well might just pick up on, On the Wings of Love, this is the Jeffrey Osborne song. And I was reminded of a couple months back, I was reading someone's poetry, and there were all these lines that were the exact lyrics from a Taylor Swift song. And I mentioned to the writer that, this is a very dangerous thing you're doing, to just borrow lines and put it in to your work. And by the way, I'm not saying that's what Heavenly Angel did. I'm just giving you an example. And the person, when I told them that, hey, all that entire line came straight from this Taylor Swift song, not that I'm a big Taylor Swift fan, I'm not a defender or arbiter of taste with her music. I like her legs. But what I'm trying to – so the person, when I told them that, hey, this, she says,
we all just borrow words from other people and put it into our writing. I said, no, all of us don't do that. And there's a word for that. It's called plagiarism. And you wouldn't want someone just taking something you've written and then presenting it as their own. So it's a very dangerous line you get when you start borrowing very recognizable phrases and presenting it in your piece. I think this, you know, because I think Heavenly Angel is young, and I mean, decades younger than me. I wouldn't be surprised if she's of a generation that never even heard of Jeffrey Osborne. So
right. I'm sure that's what it is.
So I'm sure it's just unintentional, because the idea of On the Wings of Love
absolutely.
Is such a powerful romantic thought.
Yeah.
You know, for Roy Acuff, it was going on the wings of a great speckled bird. But, you know, the wings of love actually sounds more inviting.
Well, and a lot of times, Bill, the poet gets a picture, like this picture, and they're supposed to write to the picture prompt. And so,
I didn't realize that.
I would have said the same thing on the wings of love. I would have started it the same way. Because I didn't know that. I would have had no idea. And I'm 63 years old, about this guy who wrote this song On the Wings of Love. I mean, I've heard it before, but it never would have dawned on me.
Well, I thought it was completely unintentional and oblivious, but just the fact that it's there, and this is again why someone has to be a little cautious. And as I saw the picture,
right.
You're absolutely right. It speaks perfectly to the picture prompt that inspired the verse.
Right. Right.
It's just it's because there's so many of us are concerned about things that get lifted and whatnot, and it's just a fine line that you have to be careful. Sometimes you can
right.
There's a difference between getting close to it and running completely over it, the line that is. I mean, I didn't just dwell on that. It's because I was familiar with the song, and which speaks to the idea of how popular a theme it is. It wasn't just a Jeffrey Osborne song. Bill Gaither and his wife did versions of this song. In a gospel context. So,
right.
You know, it's just, again, the idea of On the Wings of Love, it fits so perfectly for a romantic concept between a guy and a gal. But the same, illustration works in describing a higher relationship between a human and a divine force. That's how powerful a concept it is. Altogether, I think Heavenly Angel still wrote a beautiful piece that was romantic, but resonating with some innocence too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Linda, you know, as a writer of songs, which I have written quite a few, you actually cannot copyright a title. A Ferlin Husky wrote On the Wings of a Dove, and that was a gospel song, which was very, very popular for him and much of a big hit. This change of the last word, rather dove as the love on the wings of on the wings of love is, as the gentleman mentioned, very, very poetic, very musical, very stirring,
yeah.
Very romantic.
Right.
How many songs have been written of the same title? However, you can't copyright a title. And so in this case, the sea wrote, you know, on the wings of love, that idea and that concept has been, done quite a few times, but it's the way that it's written, it's the context, it's the rhyme, it's the feeling, it's the emotion that makes that piece very outstanding. And in the case of the writers, as I said, there's the magic. So as far as the title is concerned, they can't do anything about that. It's just
right.
That's part of the license that writers do have. And he was right, because every generation does not know what the last generation had written. And so they can come up with the same idea, because great minds run parallel. And in this case over here, there it is. There's a good example.
Right.
You understand it's not okay. It's not right. You understand that you should...
Big pardon, sir?
Miss it, blah, blah, blah.
You can take the computer in the living room.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Are we all here?
Hello? I'm sorry, can
you
hear me?
Yeah, I think we are, Linda. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, we are.
Everybody sure? Okay, I thought we'd go ahead and do Lawrence, and you can do that one, right,
yeah.
AP?
I will.
Okay.
Yeah, I will, because he needed to wrap up. So I'll do that.
It's a funny one. It's a funny one, AP.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to copy it back down to the bottom again. So bear with me. Here we go. It's back at the bottom now. If you refresh your screen. This is 4 Drunk Beatles Walk Into a Bar by Lawrence 67. And it goes a little bit like this. 4 Drunk Beatles walk into a bar. The bartender says to the first Beatle, "What'll it be, bub?" The first Beatle, John, says, "Imagine." The bartender thinks for a bit and says, "I imagine you want one bourbon." Then he asks the second Beatle, "How about you, buddy?" And the second Beatle, Paul, says, "Don't let me down." The bartender says, "Take it easy, pal. I got you. You want one scotch?" The bartender looks at the third Beatle and asks, "How about you?" The third Beatle, George, cries out, "Help," and the bartender says, "Settle down, I'll help you, here's one beer." Then the bartender looks down on the floor, where the fourth Beatle was lying, drunk off his gore, and says, "How about you, fella, what will it be?" The fourth Beatle, Ringo, drunk as a skunk, motions to the bartender and says, "Hey man, come down here, man." So the bartender bends over and says, "Yeah man, what will it be?" And the fourth drunk Beatle, Ringo, says, "Hey man, I want one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer." Everybody sing. Well, I ain't seen my baby
since
I don't know when.
Since I don't know when.
We go.
I was going to sing with
you. I've been drinking bourbon,
no,
scotch, and gin.
Scotch and gin.
Gonna get me high, man.
I've been loose. Need me a triple shot of that juice.
Gonna get me drunk. You have no fear. I want one bourbon.
I want
one
bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
One bourbon, one scotch, and one beer. And then he hiccups, and that's the poem.
That's so cute. This is classic Lawrence humor that grabs you by your doohickeys and tickles your guts out. So funny and clever with outstanding wit. I sense you have a quite large humor bone. No pun intended. So stop it. I know what you're thinking. But seriously, Lawrence, you are a fabulous writer, and I just love having you on my show. And thank you very much for coming. And remember, all you need is love, and that's what I want. So let me get you some comments. AP.
Yes. That was fun. I wish I had some backing music there, Linda, because there was.
I tried to sing with you, but we were terribly.
I know. It's
we
the
were
time
terribly.
Difference. The time difference. it's we're half a world away. That's the problem. There's a beautiful George Thorogood version of that song. There's some wonderful versions of that song. It was a great lead up to it, and very cute.
Right on. Carmine, what did you think?
I thought it was cute. I thought it was very clever. Of course, you know, when he's using Four Drunk Beatles, he's also used a comparison of that group. So when you have that gives it more sustenance and a little punch to to the poem itself. So what does it say? Everybody sing. Well, why not? Hand over the bourbon, hand over the scotch, and hand over the beer. Ta-da, ta-da.
Yeah.
Or the hiccup while you're at it. You got to give credit. You did a good job on that.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. And Bill...
Yeah. So do you know why Ringo was so important to the Beatles?
Why?
Without Ringo, there would have been no Beat.
Oh,
that's
true. There would have been no Beat. Right on.
I always love reading something with the Beatles. It just makes me get so nostalgic. And I love how in the second stanza, the humor in Paul telling him, "Don't let me down."
Yes.
Which is the allusion to this, such one of the bigger songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that little, slice of humor, it made me start thinking about all the different ways that something like this could, referring to a benefit for Mr. Kite or a Sergeant Pepper somewhere. I mean, as I read that second stanza, it made me think of all the different things that a different member of the Beatles might say in response using the title of the song. I thought that was funny. It brought
right.
It gave me a smile. And
right
not
on.
To harp on this thing I mentioned before, and it just, no one else may think like this because I just, it's something I harp on. The line that was prominent with this one scotch, one bourbon, one beer, that happens to be probably the most famous line of a rock song by George Thorogood and the Destroyers. So when I hear that, you have all this artistry, and then in the single utterance of a phrase, that creativity and beauty is suddenly, I'm not going to say undermined, I'm just going to say that it can be distracting to a reader when they know the word comes from something else that's so more well known, and suddenly it's become, oh, you're using that thing he did. Which is, it's not like it becomes the whole, it's only one little line in this whole masterwork, but because it is so recognizable to me, it almost taints everything that came before it, because just has taken me right out of my immersion
into this other thing, which has nothing to do with the poem. You know, I think of that George Thorogood song about someone really on the going through a really bad time, and they're using a good drunk to, if there is a good drunk. That makes me think, oh, that's an oxymoron. Is there a good drunk?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, listen, we got one more person to get through tonight before the show ends. So I put her up on the board already, AP.
Hey guys,
yeah,
I just want to tell you thank you. I've got a little thing I got to deal with here, and thank you so much for letting me join you for a while.
Thanks.
And I'll be listening more, and I'm so happy to make your acquaintance.
Come back next week.
I certainly will.
Come back next week.
I'm really grateful for everything you all do. Have a great night. Bye.
You too, Bill. Bye-bye.
Bye. Jenny's poem, she says, is a double up. Because she's got it on two shows. Linda?
So does she want to pull it from tonight?
Yeah, she put a comment on the bottom of our board saying, saying, oh, no, my poem for tonight is also an ATOB.
Okay, she doesn't want it read tonight. Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
You want me to read mine, Linda, or maybe
we do. Carmine. Oh my God.
We do.
Yes,
Carmine.
Let's get Carmine's up here.
We do. We should do Carmine. At the very least, we should do Carmine.
You want me to pull it?
I'm having a look now. Have you got it? Hold on. Where is it? Where's the link? Come to me. Here it is.
Towards the bottom.
Got it. Coming onto the board now, Karma. Just one tick.
Do we have time, Linda?
We have time. Yeah, we've got time,
Karma.
All yours.
I'm sorry.
It's on the board.
No, that's
there
fine,
we go.
There's no problem. I just thought it was a wonderful show tonight. Really very, very...
We saved the best for last.
No. Well, just get this. Let me know, and then I'll share it with you.
Anytime
you're
ready, darling.
Here you go. It's all yours, come on.
Okay. The title is A Picture Book and a Name. Child of Joy. Bubbling and inquisitive, your little mind reaches out to touch and find shapes and forms of every kind. Soon you hold a picture book. At first you give a puzzle book. You wonder what that is or who. Then mommy says its name to you. See? Horsey. But of course it's a horse. It's amazing how you'll remember the names of what you'll see. Cat, dog, fish, bird, donkey, tree. You'll understand. You'll smile, getting brighter all the while. Coming to adore the simple things. The glory of the smell and sound of nature's beauty all around. You'll grow. You'll learn. Mature and discerning things about life, love, for the welfare of others, you'll share your skills and power of youth. Oh, child of innocence, your mind, a gem of creation, can accomplish all you desire. Endless, explosive, with the fire to explore our world, the universe, for mysteries unknown in space, mountain, or stone. Oh, precious one, an honor for sure. Take the challenge, endure. Follow the river of knowledge that leads to the sea of wisdom. Cross it, write, teach, proclaim. And to think it all began with a picture book. Hey.
beautiful. Can you hear me, Carmine?
I can hear you, my dear.
Okay.
I really thank
you. Wow. This one is so sweet. You cross the universe with this one. You know, there is nothing more beautiful than the face of a child who has learned a word in a book. The look on their face is the most cherished thing that you can ever see. And to hear them running, "Mommy, Mommy, look," and them read their first line out to you, it's an amazing thing. But what a great way to introduce growth to a child. Because I remember teaching mine one word at a time, and then they were teaching their younger siblings, and what a magical thing that was to watch. And just a child that's found his words and stories. My grandson, Killian, I read to my children every night, every day, every night. And I instilled in my daughter when her son was born that she must read to her son every day, every night. And no matter how old he is, read to them and show them the pictures. And she did. And now my Killian, who's 13 years old, reads all the time. If you ask him what he wants for Christmas, it's books. He's always in his little, he made a reading nook in his room where he goes to read his books, and he's always in there. He'll come out and say, "Hi, Grandma," and then he's back in reading his books. But I could just remember the first word I put to a picture for me was ball, and that's what you were talking about at the end, was how you remember that first word that you learned in a picture book. And Carmine, you have written a completely enchanting story of real life heart and soul kind of stuff. I solely love this one. AP.
Yeah, it's a beautiful poem. I love the dedication too. That seeing your great-great-grandchildren is a blessing and an inspiring gift. And it sort of, to me, there's that sort of lovely sense of wonder and joy and inspiration in the world that so often we see in young people, but it just shines out of your writing, Carmine, this love of the world and this joy of the world. And there's something very special to be able to share that with everybody when you're in a position of having a great, great grandchild. And they're a very fortunate child to have you.
Right
on.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Well, what a night. Did we get everybody now?
I think we did.
Yeah. Well, I had fun. I hope you guys had fun. And we'll be gearing up for next Friday. Are you going to come next Friday, Carmine?
If the Lord wills, my dear.
All righty.
Yeah.
That's all we can ask for. There we go. I'll say a prayer. All right, my friend. Let me get back into the studio for a minute. I want to say thank you to everybody that showed up tonight. AP, thank you for all your help as usual. Carmine, Bill, our new friend, Infinite Destruction, Lawrence, Heavenly Angel, Frank, Infinite Destruction, Jenny, Pee Wee, Titus, and Lawrence. And I think that's it. I want to thank you all with my very special thanks for sharing your night with me, taking your time out and making my show what it is. So thank you very much, and good night to you.
Good night, Linda. Take care.
Good night, Carmine.